Diary. I am not able to sleep past April 19th, 1901. I am not able to sleep past 1 o'clock. I promised to speak to the students at 9 o'clock this morning, therefore I did not attend the early morning meeting. I remained to the council meeting and was requested to give the brethren all the light the Lord had given me in regard to the carrying forward of the work on correct lines. The matter of Dr. Cress and his wife's coming to Australia and unitedly engaging in work in the Sydney Sanitarium was introduced. Much was said in favor of their coming. I have been instructed that there should be connected with this sanitarium a physician and his wife who have the work and cause of God at heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. This is the condition God has made. This is the foundation stone upon which we must build. This is to be our very first work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The work of seeking includes much. In it, the heart, mind, soul, and strength are to be enlisted. This affects the entire character, as is shown in the first chapter of 2 Peter. All who will follow the principles outlined in this chapter secure for themselves life insurance papers as they seek for the righteousness of Christ. They become one with the Savior. They are made partakers of the divine nature. The character is molded after the similitude of Christ. It grows into a holy temple for the Lord. Through them, light shines forth to the church and to the world. The sanitariums that shall be established are to be God's memorials, agencies in the conversion of many souls. A Christ-like influence is to go forth from these institutions to all who are connected with them, an influence which will speak in their favor, which is as a light shining in a dark place. And there is to be no concealment of the source of grace and power. The Lord has a great work to do in our world, and he desires that the influence which is imparted by the great healer shall be brought to bear upon suffering humanity. The source of strength is within the reach of every one who will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is for all. But all do not avail themselves of the advantages which are so broad and deep and full. I have been instructed that some good has been accomplished at the sanitarium in Summer Hill, but this good has been small in comparison with what it might have been. A physician and his wife, persons of age and experience, who will stand in right authority, should be placed in connection with that institution. Then the influence of spiritual intelligence and experience will be felt. Physicians who cultivate a sense of the presence of God will impress their patients with the influence of truth, as they show that they truly believe the words, "I know that my Redeemer lives to make intercession for me, and that because he lives, I shall live also." The influence of this is felt. Job 19, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Physicians little know the power they will have in the sick room if they recognize the presence of God. Their words will be of such a character that impressions for good will be made upon minds. God desires the sanitariums which are established to be a power for good. Let those who are connected with them remember the words, "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Let the Christian, represented by the building, open every window heavenward, welcoming the bright heavenly rays of the Sun of Righteousness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. Living and working under the constant impression, "Lo, God is here," brings a hallowed influence which the Spirit is ever impressing on heart and mind. God desires all who are connected with the sick in our institutions to have in their hearts the peace of Christ. Their words and works are to be such that they will shine as lights in the world. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalm 37, verse 7, 8, 11, 30, 31. This is the instruction that should be given to those working in our sanitariums. The light given me by the Lord is that wherever camp meetings are held, the gospel is to be proclaimed in clear lines. Medical missionary work is to exert a decided influence. Those who are being educated in medical missionary lines should realize that this is a work which calls their knowledge into action in its fullest extent. Therefore, they are never to feel that it is unnecessary for them to put to the stretch every capability in accordance with reason and the love of God to work the works of Christ, to rescue from evil those who will show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Follow the principles which will give character to your work. Look beyond the present. Turn away from the transitory things of this life, from selfish pursuits and gratifications. For what purpose are you seeking an education? Is it not that you may be able to impart knowledge to the ignorant? Is it not that you may relieve suffering humanity? To our medical missionary workers in Australia, I would say, although you have not the educational advantages which can be secured at the sanitarium in Battle Creek under the supervision of Dr. Kellogg's wise experience, yet if you will put your powers to the tax and study diligently, you may learn much. Depend upon God. Ask him to make the powers of your mind keen and clear that you may learn to work as Christ worked. Follow on to know the Lord, striving earnestly for knowledge to impart to those who are ignorant. Tell the Lord that you want to help suffering humanity. You may have full confidence that God will give you knowledge, even as he gave knowledge to Daniel and his companions. As the mind is enlarged by true knowledge, the heart is warmed by a sense of the goodness, compassion, and love of God. The soul is filled with an earnest longing to tell others how they may cooperate with the great master worker. Put your whole being into the work of helping others, and God will give you skill and understanding. Students do much for themselves as they impart the knowledge they receive. Thus they gain more excellent knowledge to impart. Thus, their ability to work for God is increased. The grosser parts of our nature need to be subdued by the knowledge of truth and righteousness. Words cannot describe the quickening influence of the Holy Spirit on mind and character. The Lord has given much light in regard to the necessity of his people's practicing temperance in all things. The light regarding health reform has been kept before us for the last 50 years. Those who realize all that medical missionary work includes will be laborers together with God in advancing this work. Whether engaged as canvassers, evangelists, or ministers, they will strive to act as God's helping hand in relieving the sufferings of mind and body. Our church members are not to hold themselves aloof from medical missionary work. All medical missionary workers should be set apart as gospel workers. They may never preach a discourse, but in most cases, they will open their lips to impart knowledge. Solemnly and publicly, they are to be recognized before they are sent forth as gospel workers. Men and women are to study how they can best reach the people. Then let them go forth as consecrated, spiritual workers. Let them in some city hire a place in which to live and at once begin their work. They will find enough suffering ones to whom they can present themselves as medical missionaries. In some places, the medical missionary will be better received if he has credentials to show that he has been set apart for gospel work. It is medical missionaries that are needed all through the field. Canvassers should improve every opportunity granted them to learn how to treat disease. Physicians should remember that they will often be required to perform the duties of a minister. Medical missionaries come under the head of evangelists. The workers should go forth two by two, that they may pray and consult together. Never should they be sent out alone. The Lord Jesus Christ sent forth his disciples two and two into all the cities of Israel. He gave them the commission, "Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." Luke 10, verse 9. We are instructed in the Word of God that an evangelist is a teacher. He should also be a medical missionary. But all are not given the same work. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 11, 12. We now ask those who shall be chosen as presidents of our conferences to make a right beginning in places where nothing has been done. Recognize the medical missionary work as God's helping hand. As His appointed agency, it is to have room and encouragement. Medical missionaries are to have as much encouragement as any accredited evangelist. Pray with these workers. Counsel with them if they need counsel. Do not dampen their zeal and energy. Be sure by your own consecration and devotion to keep a high standard before them. Laborers are greatly needed in the Lord's vineyard, and not a word of discouragement should be spoken to those who consecrate themselves to the work. Those who labor in our conferences as ministers should become acquainted with the work of ministering to the sick. No minister should be proud that he is ignorant where he should be wise. Medical missionary work connects men with his fellow men and with God. The manifestation of sympathy and confidence is not to be limited by time or space. The work that Dr. Kellogg has been doing is much larger than he should embrace. He is in positive danger of falling under the pressure of so many responsibilities. But that over which he feels the deepest is that Seventh-day Adventists have made his work so hard. They have not taken any pains to become acquainted with his earnest, determined effort to train and educate workers. He has made his home an asylum for orphans, taking the forsaken and unfortunate to his mind and heart, loving them, caring for them, feeding and clothing them. He carries a fearful responsibility as he performs his important operations, not only at the sanitarium, but nigh and afar off. All who have reasoning minds ought to have seen that his work is far ahead of anything they have done or could do. They should have been very careful how they placed additional burdens on him by ignoring the work which they should have been forward to share. The Lord has warned Dr. Kellogg that he was endangering his life by an endless round of wearing responsibilities. He was told that he must not take up so much work. But the work has not been so grievous to him as the efforts made to ignore medical missionary work. The light of health reform has been presented to our churches in America, but some of the oldest members have taken a wrong position, counteracting the efforts Dr. Kellogg has made to advance health reform. Those who should have been forward to sanction Dr. Kellogg's work as God's appointed physician, to help him carry his responsibility, have stood to bar his way. They have worked against the principles which the Lord has declared every church should be educated in accordance with which every Christian should educate his family and neighbors. Dr. Kellogg has been trying to teach and practice health reform, but by their example, church members have made light of his work. Speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Apostle exhorts us, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." 2 Peter 1, verse 5-10. I have many fears for our ministering brethren, because I have seen that many of them are unreasonably prejudiced. If they can see, as they suppose, that Dr. Kellogg is moving unadvisedly, they make the most of it. I am intensely anxious that Dr. Kellogg shall not give them the slightest reason to vindicate the course they have pursued. Dr. Kellogg has been put to his wit's end to know how to escape the evils confronting him. The Lord understands the strait places in which his servant has been placed. He can weigh every word and action in just balances. I have not a particle of sympathy with the blindness which for so long has been upon our brethren. They have made a world of an atom, and an atom of a world. But this is enough of this part of this story. The Lord's tender love and care is over Dr. Kellogg. He will not allow him to become the sport of Satan's temptations. He is not pleased with those who by their attitude have made the way difficult for him. Their opposition has made it exceedingly hard for the doctor. But when I come before the people in conference, I shall bear a testimony that will set matters in a true light. I looked to see what kind of work has been done by those who had been so prejudiced against Dr. Kellogg, and I was made heartsick as I saw how much there is to be done in the barren places of the Lord's vineyard. The members of our committees and the presidents of our conferences have not felt the real burden of souls, and the Lord calls for a change. There must be a different administration. No longer must the matter be deferred. Earnest efforts must be made to set things right. The medical missionary work must stand forth in its pure, sacred character. Great care should be taken in working for the outcasts. Neither young men nor young women should be sent into the lowest places of our cities. The sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears should be kept from evil. There is much that the youth can do for the Master. If they will watch and pray and make God their trust, they will be prepared to do excellent work under the supervision of experienced laborers. Medical missionary work must have its representatives in our cities. Centers must be made and missions established on right lines. Ministers of the gospel are to unite with the medical missionary work, which has ever been presented to me as the work which is to break down the prejudice which exists in our world against the truth. The medical missionary work is growing in importance and claims the attention of the churches. It is a part of the gospel message and must receive recognition. It is the heaven-ordained means of finding entrance to the hearts of people. It is the duty of our church members in every place to follow the instruction of the great teacher. The gospel is to be preached in every city, for this is in accordance with the example of Christ and his disciples. Medical missionaries are to seek patiently and earnestly to reach the higher classes. If this work is faithfully done, professional men will become trained evangelists. I have been cautioned not to open this matter abruptly to Dr. Kellogg, for he may be led to add to his already too numerous burdens. The study of surgery and other medical science receives much attention in the world, but the true science of medical missionary work, carried forward as Christ carried it, is new and strange to the denominational churches and to the world. But it will find its rightful place when, as a people who have had great light, Seventh-day Adventists awaken to their responsibilities. Young men and young women must be fitted to engage in medical missionary work as physicians and nurses. But before these workers are sent into the field, they must give evidence that they have the spirit of service, that they are breathing a medical missionary atmosphere, that they are prepared for evangelical work. Students should be prepared for pioneer missionary work. The medical missionaries who are sent to foreign countries should first receive a most careful education. They are Christ's ambassadors, and they are to work for him with all the skill they have, praying fervently that the great physician will pity and save by his miraculous power. Dr. Kellogg is working in the lines of God's appointment in keeping in touch with the educated, noble men of the medical profession. He will be sustained in preserving his faith in the love of the truth. If he will make God his trust, he will be sustained as a genuine, devoted believer. In his association with other physicians, he need not say all he believes. This is not required. But in the past, his faith in the Word of God has not been a hindrance, but a help to him, and thus it will be in the future. There are some who have no special inclination to devote themselves to evangelistic work. Let these take up the study of surgery. If they grasp the saving truths for this time, they will be able to present the simple lessons of the Bible. They should enter into no theological discussion or controversy, but should show great wisdom and skill, realizing that by speaking and praying and singing the truth, they are freeing the minds of their fellow men from error. In all humility of mind, they should exercise themselves unto godliness.